Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 1, page 28. Description of the form of Bhagavan. According to the commentary, from the sattva arising from the Lord's sarup, the knowledge of the jivas arises. I surrender to the effulgent Lord, situated in the sun, beyond Prakriti, who fulfills the desires of the jiva, who creates this universe by his will, enters it and maintains the jiva, desiring material enjoyment by inspiring the jiva's intelligence. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.7.14. According to Bharata's prayer, the Lord is Shuddha-sattva, beyond material gunas, haro rajaha. Thus, gunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas belong to the jivas, not to the Lord. It is said in the 11th canto, right? So you can't have the Lord as this covered Brahman, right? Maybe the best quality of covered Brahman, you know, in knowledge instead of in ignorance, but he's beyond the modes, all three of them. Sattvam rajas tama iti. Guna jivasya naiva me, chitta ja jaishtu bhutanam sajjamano nibandhyate. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, influence the living entity, but not me. Manifesting within the minds of all beings, they induce the living being to become attached to material bodies and to become bound up. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.2. Also in the Gita, know that all things in sattva, rajas, and tamas come from me. I am not dependent on them, but they are dependent on me. The whole world, bewildered by the transformations of three gunas, does not know me, possessed of unchanging spiritual qualities, who am untouched by all the products of the gunas. My maya, made of the gunas, fit for the jiva's pleasure, is hard to surpass. But those who surrender to me alone can cross over this maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.12.14. Okay, so me alone means it's just the Krishna. It's not the Krishna and the demigods and everybody else that you have on your altar. You know, it's like, yeah. The Lord, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Lord, the all-seeing eternal witness, beyond material nature. One who worships Him becomes similarly free from the material modes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. Because if you're focused worshiping the Lord and see Him as transcendental beyond the modes, you become transcendental. If you're worshiping the Lord and you just see Him from that He is, you know, made of the material gunas, then you'll be within the gunas. Like that, yeah.
But we do worship Krishna like that, and we're still under the modes because of the identifications.
So that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the problem?
Our side. Being influenced by the modes.
Okay. And what's wrong with that?
The suffering doesn't allow to do service fully.
And why would we want to do service fully?
Because we worship the Lord, who's beyond the gunas.
Yes, but I'm just saying, why would you want to worship the Lord beyond the gunas?
Because we want to attain the Lord.
And what will and that attainment? What's the benefit of that?
We can become beyond the gunas.
Okay. Okay. So now, if the main consideration, or a consideration, is in here is being beyond the gunas, then the element comes up is that it'll be effective, right? That process, but it won't be as effective as if. I mean, it won't be as effective as if the idea of worshiping the Lord is to please the Lord and come to the level of love of Krishna. Does that make sense? That's more efficient, because then you're dealing with him as Bhagavan. So that would be the most efficient aspect, because it means in the way of the mood and everything like that. Because then that means nothing else is as important. That's what Krishna was saying. You know, just him. But those who surrender to me alone can cross over this Maya. So then when it comes from that aspect, then you can engage any amount of one's material position in the Lord's service. But if we're still identifying with that material position and connecting it to Krishna, we will advance. And it's a perfect system. But it won't be as effective as if it's just that full surrender to Krishna alone. That it's just about his pleasure that is what we're really worried about. So we're not worried if we get, you know, the suffering goes away or we get liberated. It's just that he's pleased, that will make us happy. Because our idea is this liberation means we get rid of material suffering. But if we have that element of Krishna's pleasure, then we're not actually affected by the material modes. Does that make sense? Because trying to become freed from the material modes itself, and that being, you know, a focus, then the difficulty comes up is then it's much more mechanical, so it's harder. But if the focus is on Krishna as a person and pleasing him as a person, then it just comes as a side thing. It's just automatic. You understand? So what we're meaning here is that we're making this endeavor and we're advancing, and we see, you know, so advance that we still see that these other aspects are there. That's because it's not fully surrendered to Krishna alone as a person. We may be, okay, he's God and we're doing everything and we're trying to follow the rules and all that, but there's still that element of what result we'll get from, still the aspect of liberation. So it's always a little slower. Right? Because does that make sense? But when we're dealing with Krishna and his pleasure and all that, then we see the whole process is easier. So we don't even notice so much the modes. So we notice because we don't want to suffer. And so as a beginning, that's definitely going to be an impetus. But it has to come out that it's not about us not suffering, it's about Krishna being happy. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just look at it like this. Let us say there's a child, okay? And children have a tendency to, you know, cry and do all kinds of things that can be a disturbance according to the modes of nature, okay? So now, if your impetus to take care of the kid nicely is so that you don't suffer, you know, it means, in other words, if they're not crying, you're okay. They're asleep, you're okay. They're eating properly and not making a scene, you're okay. It will be harder than if you're just trying to make the kid happy. You understand? That's the difference here. That's the difference between the pure unalloyed devotion and then, you know, devotionals and pure devotional service. It means, when we say pure devotional, we mean pure unalloyed, but it just means, if the element of liberation is there, it's always going to be more mechanical and more difficult. But it's Krishna conscious, it is efficient. But it's not efficient as efficient. That's why Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, and Braj is most perfect. Does that make sense?
Somebody asked me regarding this. In Dwarka, for example, the queens, there's no question of liberation or any material desires. But we don't say that it's pure unalloyed. In what sense? Except for Mamata, Krishna is mine and I'm Krishna's. Is there any other explanation?
It's just that aspect of that, you know, he's the... Because the dealing in Dwarka is more along the line that he's Paramatma. You know, he's the Supreme Lord. So as soon as you have that aspect, then there's going to be, he's God, and so therefore all these different things, am I worshiping God? You have the aspects of you have the aspects of, you know, being on the same planet, you know, having the same form, same opulences, all these different things that come, the spiritual facilities. In other words, Braj are not worried about the spiritual facilities. What facilities are there, they use. And but in Vaikuntha, then you see the spiritual facilities are part of the grandeur. Does that make sense? So they're much more aware of them because they're dealing with the Lord who is all-knowing. So naturally, since they're dealing with the Lord is all-knowing, then they will also be knowing. It matches. So it has a particular flavor. While in Braj, Krishna's Muktata is just under the control of the affection of the devotees. So the devotees are just under the control of Krishna's affection. So the secondary, even though the facilities are greater than in Vaikuntha, but it's only uses that it works. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, you have somebody who's, you know, fashion conscious, okay? And they have, you know, they dress always nicely and all that, and then they have some really, really special stuff, right? And it's special for special occasions. And when they're wearing it, they know they're wearing special stuff. And everybody else knows they're wearing special stuff. And you may interact based on this special stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. But now let's say someone grows up in a family who they are, you know, very fashion. I mean, just very fashionable just by tradition. And so they only have that really good stuff. You know, does that make sense? They're putting on some shorts to go out and work out in the backyard, but they're gaunt. You know, like that, or you know, they're not just. You didn't get them at Walmart, right? On sale. You know what I'm saying? So they just only have good stuff. So therefore, for them, even if they're going to go, you know, just go down to the store, what they're wearing is good. So for them, it's not about the fashion. It's about just what's appropriate for a particular situation. So it's the same thing. You're going to a fancy party. Then the person who's, you know, not always moving in that, then they wear what's appropriate. But for them, that's unique and special, and that makes the situation, oh, I can wear all these things. But while the other person, it's just that in this situation, you wear this, and that you wear that. So it's not about the excitement of wearing fancy clothes, it's about just wearing what's appropriate. Does that make sense? So even though their facility is greater than the other person, it has less effect on their consciousness. Like that. Does that make sense? So in the same way is that in Braj, even though their facility is greater than Vaikuntha, it's just the facility you use. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, we're using our, you know, stainless steel spoon and all that, okay? As a regular thing, then you have some special guests, and if you have it, you get out the, you know, the silverware. You know, the actual silver. That's why it's called silverware, because it used to be silver. Like that. So you get that out. But let's say you have families, that's all they use is silver. So, you know, you're just going to, you know, eat some cereal in the morning, but you're using a solid silver spoon. You know what I'm saying? So for them, it's just normal. You know, so the difference is just going to be whether they just get out that one spoon or it's a formal dinner, so they put out all the spoons.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's going to be the difference there. So they're not aware of these things. So the aspect of liberation actually doesn't add to the flavor. Well, in Vaikuntha, it adds to the flavor. That's why you see in Vaikuntha, they have those aspects of liberation. It's always mentioned. But in Braj, it's never mentioned. Because it's just, they're not aware of it. It's not important. You're doing that service for Krishna because you're there and he's there. Like that. But in Vaikuntha, then it's about, you know, he's there, you're there, and so it's a different flavor. So the queens, we have to remember, are an expansion of the gopis. So it's just that as Krishna expands as Vasudev Krishna, then Braja Krishna expands as Vasudev Krishna, then the gopis expand as the queens. You know, and then as they expand again into Vaikuntha, below that, you know, then they take on that mood as Lakshmi. Does that make sense? So yeah. So it's just these fine aspects of mood. So before we were learning them in mechanics. You know, we first learn in the cultural things, the difference in this cultural aspect is right, this is wrong. Right? And then, you know, and we hear about the philosophy. Then it gets more that we understand within the philosophy. Right? But now it comes up when you get to these levels, then you're dealing with the difference in the mood in devotion. So it's the same, you're using the same mechanical technique, but we're using it on finer and finer aspects. So yeah.
Devotee intellectually understands that he must do everything for pleasing Sri Krishna.
Yes.
But actually, he has this element of desire to liberation. If he will not attend this pure devotional service to the time of death, will he go to Vaikuntha or he can continue his service to Raja Krishna here?
What's the goal of this devotee? Yes, so then why they wouldn't continue in that line? You understand? We have to remember Krishna is very compassionate. He's very grateful. He's nice. We're the ones that aren't nice. Does that make sense? So, therefore, we're the ones that it's necessary to think of God as, you know, you do one thing wrong and that's it, you're finished. But, you know, that's, you know, if that was the case, we would be finished long time ago. Like, you know, like unlimited lifetimes ago. Right? But it's still going on. So at any point, the living entity can take up Krishna consciousness. Right? Because for Krishna, the material, the jiva being under the modes of nature, that's illusory. Right? And so, how seriously do you take an illusion? You understand? Because we're absorbed in the illusion, we take it seriously. Right? But Krishna doesn't. Because it's illusion. Doesn't mean that you're not in the dream, so therefore things will run in the dream as you're dreaming them. But as soon as you decide to come out of the dream, that's where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be awake. Does that make sense? But we take it that the dream state is actually the real state. And then the spiritual is just an extension of that. Rather than, no, the spiritual is being awake, not in the dream. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why for Krishna, if we surrender, then all these things just go away. Krishna will take care. Because the point is it's the consciousness, it's being awake that's important. Not what happens in the dream. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, you're talking to a friend. Yeah, yesterday, I don't know what's going on. In my dream, I was flying. You know, then the other friend, well, how high were you flying? Well, I don't know. It's just, you know, around the tree level and all that. Well, I fly up at the, you know, how you say, above the skyscraper level. So, you know, my dream's better than your dream. You know, it's kind of like, it's all illusion. What are you talking about? But that's what we do. But for Krishna, it's just all illusion. So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what where you are in the dream state. If you surrender to him, you step out of that. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Do we have? Just think about it. In all the history that we've heard and everything like this, that somebody has a better social status in society and is renowned for that because their quality of their dreams is better than other people's dreams. Right? Nothing. Closest you get is, okay, someone can interpret dreams, they become a little famous for that. You know, but I think Jacob was the only one that's really actually famous for that. You know? Others you hear about a little bit, but, you know, they don't really stand. It doesn't get them any status like that. Is that the thing? Yeah. So, therefore, that's the whole point, is we're taking it. No, it's the quality of his dream. Oh, no, but he dreamt this. Oh, he can't be a temple president because he had this kind of a dream. You know? Oh, he can't be senior because, you know, I heard he dreams like this. You understand? Well, for Krishna, it's that the guy's awake. Who cares? That's the meaning that Krishna protects. You surrender, he protects.
It means that we should not try to wake up earlier. We should be only focused on pleasing Krishna.
We're focusing on pleasing Krishna. That focus, that means you're awake. It comes automatically. If you're focusing on Krishna, it means you're awake. You don't have to worry about being awake. Right? We worry about being awake in the beginning because we don't know about Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, knowledge and renunciation. In the beginning of devotional service, it's actually quite helpful because we have no knowledge and we're quite attached to the material energy. So then by basing on gaining more knowledge, we become detached and we're aware of that, and it's good. Because then we separate ourselves and we will focus more on devotional service. But as time goes, if you're doing devotional service because you like to do devotional service, not because the material world's bad. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you're sitting down. Okay. You know, there was a buffet, you know, and the friends, they went, they picked up whatever they liked and that, and they sit down. You know, and if you ask your friend, oh, wow, what's that, you know, what's that, you know, why did you choose that? And he says, because everything else is bad. It's not that inspiring. Right? But if you have, oh, why did you pick that? Oh, I like that. Oh, okay, wow, is that good? You know, maybe let me try. You understand? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that we're doing, it's connecting something to Krishna that makes it good. Does that make sense? So those beginning stages, then you get this problem, you know, the Brajam Brahmacharya is good and the Grihasthas is this, or, you know, being a leader is this and the other like this. They get into these things. But with time, no, it's connecting to Krishna, that's what's perfect. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's that's the focus. So, In the beginning, that someone is seeing it in that way, then Prabhupada would encourage, you know, that they were strong brahmacharis and they were this. Prabhupada would encourage because, you know, what's the alternative?
Maya.
Yeah, the total Maya, right? You know, pure unalloyed Maya. Yes, yes. So, yeah. So it's encouraging like that. But with time, it's not that's the main thing, because otherwise we see also times where devotees were taking some really strong point, and Prabhupada would say no.
Sometimes we worry that if we will be awakened, we can preach to people more efficiently, and people will accept Krishna consciousness better, more quickly.
Yes.
Is it normal?
Yes. It's natural, because if you're convinced, that's how you convince others. How many people are convinced by pure logic? Right? You know, so it's not that's actually what works, it's because you're convinced. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, we're taking just science. And in science, if you can't disprove it, it has to be accepted as one of the possibilities. Right? Like that. That's just being, what did he call it? Objective. Right? So now, can science disprove, can science prove that there's no God? No. So therefore, it has to be one of the options. And it should be, if somebody comes up with a theory how there is God, the scientists should, okay, look at it as a possibility. You know, if someone disproves it, then okay, we throw it out. But they'll just take it, no, there can't be, even though it's so obvious. So how much are they based on logic, actually? They use logic when they want to. But as far as that personal development, then it has nothing to do with that logic. So how many people work by just logic alone? You understand? So people, they go by, they're a person, you're a person, you're convinced, you find a value in it, then that's what affects them. So when you have conviction, that's what makes preaching work. It's not how much you know or how technically you know it. It's how much you're convinced. That's why new bhaktas who have only been devotees for a few weeks or months can make people devotees. Because as far as volume of knowledge goes and technical stuff, they don't know. Right? So as long as the other person doesn't really come up with some kind of argument, then they're good. But they make devotees because they're convinced, because they saw it, it meant sense to, made sense to them, they practiced it, they're getting the benefit that they were, what they were looking for. Does that make sense?
So it's normal to want to be awake as much as possible quickly for more efficient preaching.
That's there, but why do we want to preach?
For pleasing Krishna.
Yes, so always keep the pleasing Krishna part first.
Yes, yes.
And then connect whatever is our nature. So if our nature is that, you know, being convincing in preaching is there, or, you know, how you say, very efficient in management, or, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, then that is how we in our particular position are engaged. Right? And they're all options that have been very, you know, been recommended by Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas. So it's quite solid. We can be confident of that. But we always have to remember that ultimately it's about pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, then, you know, the previous point is that we get stuck in that in-between. We're focusing so much on being that efficient, you know, having that knowledge, being this, that we sometimes forget it's about Krishna. That's where we're experiencing the mixture. Because if we're remembering it's about Krishna, that's not there. The problem is we don't have a tendency to be constantly thinking of Krishna. Right? Because in this sutra, Smarana Dasa, then you have that, you know, like that, you know, so, you know, you're occasionally remembering, then regularly remembering, then, does that make sense? You know, then basically, you know, pretty much remembering and always remembering, and that, I mean, yeah, and then samadhi. So we're just at different levels there. And so then when we're remembering, we're doing fine. It's when we don't remember. So we always have to be able to keep that, even when we're the secondary aspect, that it's there, but underlying, it's not something for ourselves, it's for Krishna. Because then it's also, okay, if it's to please Krishna, then that's good. If it's because I want to be respected as a preacher, then that will be a weakness. We'll get some trouble for that. We're doing for Krishna, and so that part won't be the trouble. It's the pride part. We'll, you know, so we'll do this fabulous program and that, and then nobody will care.
Yes.
You know? You know, at the same time, you know, Bhakta Jose distributed one book and everybody's talking about it.
If when we preach, it's more easy for us to think about the people will get Krishna consciousness.
Yes, that's fine.
More than we think that Krishna will be preached.
But why do we want them to be Krishna conscious?
Because we see that they suffer.
Sorry?
They suffer. We see that they suffer.
Okay, but why would them being Krishna conscious get rid of their suffering? And why is Krishna being with them? Why is that important?
Krishna will be present.
Yes. See? It always comes back. You know, when you're mechanically looking at something, you're focusing on the skill being used, but the point is you're entering into that and the end result is for Krishna. If it's that we're doing it, you know, because of our comfort in that area, and then the result we give to Krishna, that's called renunciation. So that's devotional service. But when we see that it's about its connection to Krishna and pleasing Krishna, then we apply it, and then the results are for Krishna. That's the nyas. So that platform is better. Does that make sense? Both are good, just the nyas is better. Does that make sense? So we see is that once always, that was Kunti Devi's point, is that before she would always think of Krishna and always see everything connected to Krishna. Now that they have the facility and they're engaging in that, they may not always have his association and be absorbed like that. Not that they weren't, but this is just she's saying like that.
Can we say that now in the course the main focus is to please Krishna and especially Raja Krishna?
Yes, because we see is that this part of the course is called Prema Chakshas.
Yes.
So it means it's focused on that. You know, the previous one, the Vedanta Chakshas, is that we're actually able to see the technicalities of how our philosophy is, you know, discerning what's pure devotion, what's not. Then before that, you had Darshan Chakshas. So then you have what are the different, you know, schools of thought, what are the different things and how to discern what's our philosophy, you know, in Krishna consciousness. Right? And then the first one, Shastra Chakshas, so we start to see according to Shastra. We see according to the methods of Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So each one as you go, it's always there in the next one as it goes up. But then you see here is that the ability to, you're switching from, you're using the mechanics to please Krishna to it's about pleasing Krishna, so you're using the mechanics.
Yes.
Like that. So it's just that at this point it switches.
Yes.
The other one you've gotten to the, to a point of very well understanding it.
Yes.
You know, the practice and the fine points of the philosophy and religion and culture and all these things. But now it's a matter of appreciating that it always has to have that element of about Krishna.
Yes.
Otherwise, what is being added by Chaitanya Charitamrita? Because it's already there. Krishna mentions it in the Gita. You already see the examples in the Bhagavatam. But now the discussion focuses on that aspect. In Vishnu, there are no material gunas. May the Lord, purer than all pure beings, be pleased with me. Vishnu Purana 1944. In you, who are the shelter of all spiritual qualities, exist the energies of Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit. And in you, who are devoid of material qualities, the mixture of happiness and distress found in the material world does not exist. Vishnu Purana 1945. Indra says, your form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shines with knowledge, and is devoid of passion and ignorance. Your multitude of qualities has no connection with Maya, since those qualities have no relationship with ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.27.4. The meaning is this. Your Shakti, which manifests from your Sarup, Dhamma, is Vishuddha Sattva. It is devoid of Rajas and Tamas. It is filled with knowledge, Tapo Mayam. Tapa means knowledge according to Shruti. Satapo Tapyata. He gained knowledge, Rig Veda. Aitareya Brahmana 2.33.5. Tapo Mayam means that the Shakti has a form of profound knowledge. It is devoid of any material insentience, just as Atma being filled with knowledge is called pure. Thus, material sattva is excluded, because material sattva always has the mixes. Material sattva and other gunas, maya, mayaha, do not exist in you since you have no relationship with ignorance. Because the modes are only in ignorance. The qualities of Krishna in their pure state in the Vishuddha Sattva. That's their natural position, nor his good qualities. But the living entities who are in ignorance, mm-hmm. right, of the Ajnana Shakti, then these same qualities we see, but now they're under the modes of nature. Mm-hmm. So they're not spiritual qualities. Mm-hmm. Because you're using the quality to get something. Let us say you're having a meeting with somebody, and let's say they have an interest in ecology. Okay? So now, let us say, in that you use, in the discussion, you use a quality of, gentleness and, sensitivity, caring, this element of equality and all these. You'll find that, you might find that your meeting with this person goes very well. Right? So, now the businessman uses that. He makes this deal with this new upcoming, ecological company. And then, they expand, his business. Why was he using those good qualities?
They're important to the other person.
Yeah, they're important to the other person. It makes money. So we use qualities as it pleases us. So it's under the ignorance, so it's under the modes. Well, Krishna, it's not. He's above the modes. He doesn't. He's not in ignorance. So the original quality. So when devotees now engage in Krishna's service, then these qualities naturally come up in their pure state. Right? Because now you're nice because that's just what you do. Right? Not because you're going to get some gain from it.
Yes.
You switch it to the primary because it's about pleasing Krishna. So then, naturally, you use nice qualities. That's how he likes it. So in the material world, you use it about yourself. So that means, in the spiritual world, you're trying to please Krishna because that's just the nature of the living entity. In the material world, you're trying to please others because then you'll be happy. Right, so the spiritual Krishna is happy, you'll be happy. In the material world, others are happy. It means you'll be happy if other people are, comfortable with you being happy. So it's reversed. That's why it says a reflection. It's a perverted reflection. So the reflection is there. That's not the problem. The problem is that it's perverted because now it's about the living entity instead of about Krishna. That's the perversion. We don't mean that. What they're doing is strange. They may be like Indra. He's running his kingdom and doing everything according to scripture. So it's not in that way incorrect. You'll see Krishna and Dwarka using the same administrative techniques, right? Because they come from him. But the difference is Krishna is doing it to protect the devotees, please the devotees, interact with the devotees. Well, then Indra is doing it because, it's his job to take care of it. He feels good. He's protecting the universe and he's special and all this. So it's about himself. Right? Though he's a devotee. But the point is he still has that strong attachment to. So. Yeah. Brahma says to the Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with spiritual bodies, beyond the material modes of nature, which are gifts for all beings for attaining the highest bliss. By these forms, people in the four ashrams engage in your worship through the study of the Vedas, performing deity worship, engaging in austerities and attaining samadhi. O Lord, possessor of shaktis, if your body were not beyond the modes of material nature, knowledge of your true nature, which destroys ignorance, would not be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Would be.
Hmm?
Would be destroyed.
Oh, would be just okay. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking there's something we have to, how you say, interpret it according to, how you say, lakshana instead of abhita, right? If your body were not beyond the modes of material nature, knowledge of your true nature, which destroys ignis, would be destroyed. You can be inferred by the functions of the intelligence. For one can realize that the intelligence is related to you, and that by you alone does it function. So, just as knowledge of Krishna, he's beyond the modes. So therefore, by knowing Krishna, then you go beyond the modes. Same way as we see is that the functions and the intelligence, then you can know the Lord, and the intelligence that functions simply by Krishna's arrangement. He's in control of intelligence. As it said, intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. Mm-hmm. Right? So because he's seeing, he's discriminating, he's all these things, we can then become part of that. What he's seeing by performance of proper appropriate action, you know, that's recommended, then you can see what he's seeing. Does that make sense? Yes.
So if you're pious, you will infer that there is God, because you
yes.
get intelligence.
Yes.
But if you're impious, then you will infer that you're just too smart.
Yeah, you'll just think it's your intelligence. So where it came from and why you have it, someone else does. Well, that's the thing, we're proud of it. Well, the theistic will agree that it's by God's grace. Okay. So you see, the bigger the guys, the more they understand them. But there's a few of them in history. Einstein was like that. Newton was like that. But, you know, and they're still remembered. But in between, there's so many guys that are there, really intelligent guys, but who remembers them? Because they didn't have the character. The meaning is this. You manifest a body non-different from sattva, since that body arises from sattva. That sattva is pure, vishuddham. This means that it is especially, for visesha, pure, since it has no material part. Okay, so this is the spiritual form, right? V for visesha, as opposed to the material one. Okay. Since it has no material part, not like material sattva, which is mixed with rajas and tamas. It is extremely pure, not touched by a particle of matter, since it is composed of the surup shakti. Quote, why do I manifest this form? End quote. You do this for the embodied souls during the maintenance of the universe, stitao, for making them steady at your lotus feet, since your main aim is to give the happiness of bhakti everywhere. Right? Means he's always there in his original form. But he comes and manifests that form in the material world so that we can appreciate it, so that the living entities can become steady and be attracted to and take up the process of bhakti. Right? So it's not that he has no form and he manifests it because the jiva is conditioned. That's how the impersonalists want to take it. No, he already has his form. It's just that he comes within the realm of ignorance and manifests. But he's manifesting from a sarup shakti, so he's still in pure goodness. Srila Prabhupada. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts a form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayana is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted, Narayanah paro vyaktat. The material creation is caused by the avyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter. And Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. This is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. The Lord does not belong to the material mode of goodness, for he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. Dear Lord, the demigods prayed, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundara because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackish, yet they say that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya. Although you appear in a color which is compared to that of a blackish cloud, you are the transcendental abode, and therefore your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari because you lifted the hill known as Govardhana. You are sometimes called Nanda Nandana or Vasudeva or Devaki Nandana because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nandana or Devaki or Vasudeva. Impersonalists think that your many names or forms are according to a particular type of work and quality because they accept you from the position of a material observer. So they're looking at the material qualities he has rather than his transcendental position and the relationship. Does that make sense? So he's actually accepting it because of rasa, right? And when it's according to the secondary, then those are all the secondary names. Yes. In other words, primary names are in relationship to the devotees. Mm-hmm. And secondary names are in relationship to qualities or works that he's doing. Yes. So the impersonalists, they can't tell the difference between these names. So they just think it's all on the material platform. And not only that, even if he is secondary names, he's still transcendental, though he's doing that particular work, because he's doing it through a Sarup Shakti. Right, because the Sarup Shakti is what transforms as the material Shakti, so there's going to be no difference. But they only see the material energy. That's why they're called Maya bodies. They only can see Maya. Right? They actually don't see anything transcendental, because for them everything's Maya. Like they say Brahman is beyond, but any manifestation that they're dealing with is Maya. So they're saying everything's Brahman, but they don't follow their philosophy. Because they say everything's Brahman, but everything that you can see, everything you can describe in words, any action you can perform, that's all Maya. Right? So they're not very consistent. You know, again, going back to this whole point of logic. People only use logic if it works for them. But as soon as it doesn't work for them, they don't use logic. Because otherwise, it's like, we're dealing, let's say, something logical. Let's say it's an area that we don't have an attachment in. We can look at it quite logically. But someone who has an attachment in the area won't look at it logically. And vice versa. You know, another area that we're attached to, we won't look at it, and the other person, now they're looking at it logically. Right? You know.
He's funny.
Yes, yes. So that's why you find friends that have similar nature. Oh, it's interesting. It was seeing in the TLC where Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that Rupa Goswami has made the point that you associate with like-minded persons. Yeah. Right? So, to associate with like-minded persons, therefore, then, that's why a society has been established. Right? So the movement of Lord Chaitanya, the ISKCON Society, has been established simply for that point of following Rupa Goswami's rule of associating with like-minded persons. Okay, then continuing, the demigods are continuing. Our dear Lord, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature, form, and activities by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service, then one can understand your absolute nature and your transcendental form, name, and quality. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature, form, or quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it's not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. So as we see here, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature and all that. It's through devotion. Now, if in devotion you're also then studying, because that's also recommended, then one will learn. But even if one's just hearing service and whatever you hear, that will make sense. So it's not volume. And they were thinking scholastically that the volume of study is then what makes you more intelligent and more knowledgeable. But it's actually what you can realize. That's what makes you intelligent. Because if you have so much knowledge and no realization, You know, that's actually not that good. You know, it's just like, let's say you have somebody who's, you know, let's say the world expert in, let's say, you know, some kind of like farming or botany or something like this. But they have never actually practically done something. So let's say we take him into an area, you know, a new area. Okay, what would you plant here and do anything like this? Then think about, well, you know, we have so many options. We could do this, we could do that. But he can't do any of it. Well, the farmers, while they're having the conversation, is out there plowing the field and planting and growing things. You know, things. So that's real intelligence. Because the other one is limited. So you may know lots of facts and figures, but you'll not know the Lord. You get confused because all these different points that are being made by the demigods are seemingly contradictory. So the contradictions are only reconciled in Bhagavan. Right? When we do a Paramatma or Brahman, we don't like any contradictions. It has to be no contradictions. But when you get to Bhagavan, that's where it all becomes reconciled. And then continuing, because foolish mudhas do not awaken their spiritual nature, they do not understand Krishna or Rama. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam, Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Even big academic scholars, not considering the endeavors of the acharyas, who have recommended devotional service in many elaborate commentaries and notes, think that Krishna is fictitious. This is due to a lack of transcendental knowledge and a failure to awaken Krishna consciousness. One should have the common sense to ask why. If Krishna or Raman were fictitious, stalwart scholars like Sridhar Swami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Veera Raghava, Vijayadwaj, Vallabhacharya, and many other recognized scholars, acharyas, would have spent so much time. Why would they spend so much time to write about Krishna in notes and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2, 34.35 purport. Because otherwise, they're great scholars. They're saying they're a scholar. They're not understanding, so it can't be there. But why would all these other great scholars then write? Right? Because they perform devotion. They understand. And this person hasn't performed devotion. That's the point. It's his identity is that of being an intellectual. So he's going to base everything based on that, rather than his identity as he's servant of Krishna. And as a conditioned nature, he has an intellectual nature, so he uses intellect for Krishna. But so then they'll realize Krishna. While the intellectual, their identity is an intellectual, they can't, because that is their identity. As you think you're intellectual, Krishna's more, but you're not seeing that. Because by my intellect, I'll understand somebody else's intellect. You know, but that means you really have to be confident that you have the biggest intellect. You know, and unfortunately, they do. They do think that they have the biggest intellect. You know, if they can't understand it, it's not.
I guess this was the enlightenment proverb. Man is a measurement of all things.
Oh, really? Is that the term? That's the aphorism. Okay. Yeah. And if you bring it into more specific, you know, to be, you know, very exact, you'd have to say, Sheldon is the measurement of all things. Kunti says, Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashyema istriyaha. How can we women hope to see you, who come for the purpose of giving bhakti to the wise, liberated sages? Srimad Bhagavatam 1:8.20. That form is the best shelter, upayanam, among all purusharthas. This means that it is a form of eternal bliss and the highest bliss. Making a distinction between the Lord and his body is not to be taken literally. taking support of that body. Yena, people worship you by various methods, such as study the Vedas, deity worship, austerity, and meditation dedicated to you. This is again, you see here, he's repeating this. Study of the Vedas, deity worship, austerity, and meditation dedicated to you. That came from some verses or something before, right? That's the second time that list has been mentioned. It's always one of those things that you can never find. The scriptures are independent. So it's not just by your intelligence you'll find it. You just be looking right at it and not see it. But this is the second time in this reading today, as I mentioned. Studying the Vedas, deity worship, austerity, and meditation. But worship by ordinary people is generally not effective, since it does not accept your spiritual body. Because of your manifestation in your body, the devotees clearly understand that you have a form.
This is in 29.
28.
29. Rama says to Lord.
Oh yes, these forms in the four ashrams engage in worship through study of the Vedas, performing deity worship, engaging in austerities, and attaining samadhi. Oh, okay. That's why they come up, because it's connected with the four ashrams.
It's from 10.234, that one.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's mentioning it. Oops, well, we just were. Then again. Oh, okay, taking support of that body, so depending on what body they have or how they're situated in that, then they do that. So by those things, engaging your body in those things, what's appropriate, it's not as effective as accepting Krishna's body as being spiritual. So in other words, taking my position and using that in Krishna's service is not as effective as understanding that Krishna has a spiritual form. Right? Because otherwise, we can worship Krishna. I mean, as devotees, you won't find this happening. But the point is they're making the wide range here, is that there are those who accept the Vedas, and so they'll follow, you know, the systems nicely. But not accepting the Lord as spiritual, maintaining that impersonal position, they'll do the worship as recommended in scriptures. And so they'll gain piety from that, but they won't actually understand the Lord. They won't know the Lord. So the most effective is accepting that the Lord's form is spiritual. Now if you engage those things, now you get a good effect.
Yes.
Yes, that's Daivivarna. Because otherwise, the regular Varnashram without Krishna consciousness, it's pious, it's recommended, but it won't get you Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was denying when his disciples, they were saying, I did this service, Krishna. They were the same like this. So he said, don't talk like that you did that service.
Yes.
Yes. Means he's in the first place.
Yes, yes. And then it's connected to Krishna, that it's about your taking part. Yeah. That's very good. O maintainer, Tata, if there were no knowledge of you, which is self-revealed, Satvam, Vijnanam, your self-revealing features, Ajnana Vidha, would disappear. Apamarjanam, one could not realize you at all in this world. Because he is self-revealed. So it's only because of his self-revealing features that he can be known.
Yes.
It's not through knowledge.
Yes.
Because otherwise, then, since it's coming from himself, and we're trying to base it on knowledge, and through that we'll understand, then if that was the case, no one could know the Lord.
Yes.
Right? No one, one could not realize you at all in this world. Right, because we're saying knowledge is what we'll gain. But the point is he's self-revealed. So it's only, but how do you connect with the self-revelation is through devotional service. You're performing devotional service, that's the connection with Krishna's transcendental form. Therefore, then that form reveals itself. Right? So it's not knowledge that reveals. Like that. Does that make sense? Because there, people can, it means scholarship, you can study something so much. Like I remember once I was quite impressed. I think it was, unless I'm mixing it up, but... Yeah, I don't remember. But there was somebody who was, they were one of these, they were an academic, but they were, favorable to Krishna consciousness. They were like friends of Krishna kind of thing. I don't think they were necessarily practicing, but, they liked to come around and hang out, and because of that intellectual interest, and, you heard about Mayapur, so they wondered, okay, let's go see, like that. They came with some devotees, like that. And, in the conversation somehow or another came up that we're talking about the I think it came up in to do with the defending your dissertation. Is that you've written your dissertation and then a group of peers, then you defend it. If they find some doubts and all that. So the person was mentioning in that or any paper that they're going to discuss that as an academic they would read it 20 to 30 times. Only then they feel that they really, can say something about it. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So what we're saying is that here the scholars by their nature, that's what they do. But here is being pointed out that that's not what reveals Krishna. So even they've studied Gita 30 times, if they don't accept the form of the Lord as transcendental, they won't know Krishna. So you have you can have these impersonalist scholars who, know the whole Gita, know every word and, everything like that, but they still can't know Krishna. It's only through devotion, because it's the form that reveals. So how will you understand transcendental if you don't think that the point of emanation of this realization, if we're thinking it's mundane, then how could it reveal the transcendental? His form is transcendental, therefore it can reveal itself as transcendental. But if we think the form is material, how would it reveal the transcendental? Is that what you mean? So that's the point here, is that there's no question, even though they're so qualified. Like, I was impressed. I'd be happy if I read through something once, right? This person who's saying, that's so hard. It was just like, we'll go through that. Say someone's put up a paper, and they're going to be, let's say that's a conference and there's going to be a discussion. They'll read that 20, 30 times. And that, take notes, view that, know the words, know the vocabulary, know his angles. They'll try to understand what angle they're coming from and then use their own. And if it's consistent, then they'll say it's good. And if it's not, they'll point out the weaknesses. So their point is it logical? Does it follow their system? But that doesn't mean it will reveal the Lord, because it's coming from the spiritual form of the Lord. And if you don't accept something in that, how will you gain? If I don't accept something as authority, why would I gain knowledge from it? So now, samshaya, so the doubt. Let us accept that I cannot be revealed by material sattva. Then how can there be knowledge of me? Right. So Krishna is putting up the doubt. It's always fun when Krishna puts up the doubt. Because I think this is Brahma speaking, right? So Kunti said here, but this Brahma says to the Lord. Oh, no, it's going to Indra says, also in Gita. Okay, he's just taking it these different devotees. Because sometimes you see they have shorter conversations, that the devotee will say, this, you're this, 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 and says, but how can you say that? Like that. So. Utra, you are to be inferred by the manifestation of material gunas, but are not directly perceived. Or, If your sattva, knowledge, vijnanam, purification, apamarjanam, which removes ignorance, ajnana bidha, does not appear, then you are to be inferred by the manifestation of material gunas. But you can be directly perceived by appearance of your own sattva. So in other words, through the material sattva, you can get some, you can study, but you can only infer through the gunas. You can infer something's there, but you can't realize it. So only when the Lord reveals himself, then you actually can get revelation. So it's not a sentimental thing. It may come through the mind and the intelligence and these things that it senses you perceive, but it's revealed by the Lord.
Now this makes a difference between if we have only some knowledge and some realization.
Yes. That's why you make the distinction. Because in the realization, then it's clear. But in knowledge, then it means as long as it's working in that area of that knowledge, you do pretty good. But when other things come up, now it becomes hard to put together. So that's why it's said that, we see is that the Brajvasis, even though it's not about knowledge and all that, because they know Krishna, they have the highest realization, you could say, of Krishna. Whatever there is, that complete realization. So, speaking on that, they'll find words to put it together. It's just like Prabhupada did back here. What is it? Vyaktat, right? Paro avyakta. Material creation is caused by the avyakta. Okay? And so to explain that, the impersonal manifestation of matter, right? And if that doesn't make sense, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter. Because if we say impersonal manifestation, but say non-phenomenal means it doesn't have, it hasn't been manifest, unmanifest. Total reservoir. So Prabhupada just puts these together. Right? Because they know they have that realization. So then they can find the appropriate words. Does that sound like sense?
No mistake.
Yes.
So for personal manifestation, it's up to Krishna if he reveals himself.
Yes.
But still some people don't have ability to infer these energies.
But that's why association is necessary. That's why we hear from scripture, we hear from this and by that. It means if even then they can't, then it's just a matter. Just engage them at whatever level that they can appreciate. Right? So then they're hearing and chanting, taking prasad, associating, doing some service, whatever they can. And by that, then they'll get purified. And then because it's from Krishna, it will just naturally like that.
I have to sit between you two.
That's amazing. Okay. He was using the I guess it wouldn't be. Yeah, no, it would be. Using the aphorism from Go West, Young Man. Okay, so you were sending it more towards the Western sphere. That. And then he was saying, no, but knowledge comes from the East. And he's saying, I'm staying out of this. Yes.
In the last mantras of Ishapanishad, devotee requests Krishna to remove effulgence and to reveal himself.
Yes.
And also he reminded the Krishna about all of his previous sins. And I want to ask everyone knows that Krishna remembers the sin better than Krishna. Why he reminded the Krishna about his previous sins?
Because it's a personal thing.
Do we need to do it, or it's not
pure? No, it's just an attitude in prayer. In other words, he's saying, I'm so unqualified, but whatever little service has been happened by the grace of the Vaishnavas, please remember that. It's not that, I'm so fabulous, I did this, I did that, and aren't you going to notice? It's not that angle. Okay. It's just that they feel unqualified, so you, you know. But you can be directly perceived by appearance of your own sattva. In other words, through material sattva, you can't know the Lord. You know, you may memorize a few words and facts and figures, yes, but it won't have to give realization. Only when his own sattva manifests, then you will understand. Right? Two ways of inferring are explained to make this clear. The gunas are an indication of you because they are necessary or related to you because they are revealed by you. Yasya yena guna prakashate. Similarly, dawn is a sign of the approach of the sun. Smoke is a sign of fire. But either way, the gunas cannot bring about direct perception of you. Right? It's not that the smoke gives you a direct realization of fire. If all you've ever seen is smoke, doesn't mean you know fire. But it infers that there's fire. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, just like the dawn, it infers the sun's coming. Like that. But it's not that it reveals the sun. Right, it's not that the dawn reveals the sun. No, the sun reveals itself. Like that. So makes sense. Thus it is established that you have a self-revealing form of spiritual sattva, by which you who are self-manifesting can be directly perceived. Those persons who think that Vishuddha sattva is material sattva without rajas and tamas, and that its result is the form of the Lord must be rejected by all means, right? So they're trying really hard to make, because we're saying sattva has tamas and rajas in it, but they want to be able to situate themselves above that, because they're saying that whatever position you have here, individuality you have here, then it's all illusion, right? But we see as these impersonalists, they want to situate themselves in the best of illusion. You know, because then you're superior to all others in illusion, right? Then you become an authority. So here's what they're trying to say is that when you have the Brahman covered by knowledge rather than ignorance, right? General living entities are covered by ignorance, and so then you get the jiva. But then when you have Brahman covered by knowledge, right? Because we're still talking mundane. But it's knowledge, so that means that goodness. But this has to be different, because the others are covered by ignorance, and within that you have the three modes. Because the Shastra is saying like that, and they don't have a problem with that one. But they're trying to establish that, and they know that there's this Vishuddha Sattva. But because they don't accept anything, you know, that has definition or anything as transcendental, then they're seeing that there's a form of goodness that doesn't have passion and ignorance. But because in their definition, anything you can define is material, it still must be within the material concept. But there's a form of goodness in the material that's pure goodness. Right? And so from that, then you get the form of the Lord according to them. So it's a material form, but it's the best of material forms. And at the same time, by them being, you know, by the philosophy that's been given before, is that if you see the Lord in the transcendental position, you become transcendental. So here is that they see the Lord in this Vishuddha material sattva, then they become material Vishuddha sattva. And so they become better than the other guys who are just a regular sattva, or even worse. So that's the problem, is this kind of understanding has to be rejected, because there is the transcendental, because they're dogmatically just sticking everything in that if it's perceived, it has to be material.
Yes. But now this is the only approach. If we don't accept the Bhagavan, it's the only approach.
Yes, basically. That's the point, is you have those theistic means you accept the Lord, but also theistic starts with accepting the scriptures. So that's why you even see is for the Mayavadis that Shankaracharya is bringing them from being atheists to being theistic, at least on the level of accepting scripture. But they're not theistic in actually understanding the position of the Lord. Like that. So they only get up to that Brahman level. If all the yogis, then they'll accept the form of the Lord. You know, they'll get to the Paramatma level, but it's still not transcendental. So it's still not eternal. So in both these levels, they don't get to the eternal, so they can't realize the Lord's form. So they can't get out of the material world. So when we talk about the Viraja, Viraja will separate the spiritual world from the material world. And so they can only come to that platform of goodness or be liberated with this side of the Viraja. Yes. They can't actually go to that side.
Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Vita Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura ki.